Well, let's turn in the wonderful Word of God to Revelation chapter 1, please. The last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 1. And if you want to use the Pew Bible, it is page 1235. So 1235 in the Pew Bible for Revelation chapter 1. And let us all hear the Word of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. It was the year 2003 that the Lord of the Rings film came out, The Return of the King. And you remember the Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, three films, three movies, and the last one, the final one, was called The Return of the King. Of course, it's fantasy. What I'm about to tell you is certainly not fantasy. It's true. Because someday, we don't know when, but someday the return of the King will take place. And we're not talking about the Lord of the Rings, not talking about Tolkien's trilogy. It's interesting, by the way, I was just reading this morning that J.R.R. Tolkien, that they say he was a believer. He was good friends with C.S. Lewis. Of course, he was certainly was a Christian, a believer, who spoke about creation, was involved in apologetics, went to Cambridge University. But Tolkien was good friends with C.S. Lewis, of course, born in Belfast. But Tolkien has written, he's passed away now, but he did write The Lord of the Rings, and it was made into the films. But the return of the King, the return of the King. You see, the Lord Jesus is called the King of Kings in the Bible. That's one of the names that he is given. And this earth belongs to him. It's his property. At the present time, Satan and his forces are occupying this earth. This world is occupied territory, you could say. But someday the King will return. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again. He's coming to claim his rightful property. Let me ask you, before we go any further, are you ready to meet the King? Because you will meet him. Whether you want to meet him or not, that's a different question. But you will meet him. Every one of us will stand face to face with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, some day. It's interesting in this verse, Revelation 1 verse 7, we're told that the Lord Jesus will come with the clouds. Behold, he cometh with clouds. The Bible tells us that the clouds are the dust of his feet. It's a very interesting text in the Old Testament. The clouds are the dust of his feet. My, when you think about the clouds and the size of the clouds and the beauty of the clouds, does it not tell us today that the Lord Jesus must be great? He must be mighty. In fact, as we have read today, he is almighty. Some people say Jesus was just a good teacher. He was just an example. He was just a prophet, as Islam tells us. There are other people that would tell us that the Lord Jesus, whenever he came into this world, that he wasn't God. But then during his life, that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he became God. Well, teachings like that are simply not true. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Son of God. As the theologians put it, he's very God of very God. And we need a Savior who is God. Because if he wasn't God, he could never take away our sins. But Scripture tells us the clouds are the dust of his feet. As we read through the Old Testament, we find that clouds are mentioned on a number of occasions. Do you remember whenever the Lord redeemed his people out of Egypt by the blood of the Lamb? You remember that he went before them in a pillar of cloud. The Lord of glory wrapped himself in cloud, in a robe of cloud, and he led his people. And he brought them to the land of Canaan, to the promised land. Do you remember that the people of Israel, they worshipped God in the tabernacle and then in the temple? And one of the items of furniture was the mercy seat. You've heard of the Ark of the Covenant. You ever watched the film, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, Harrison Ford? The Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred piece of furniture in Israel's worship. And over the Ark of the Covenant hovered the glory cloud, the Shekinah glory. The Lord had come down and humbled himself to dwell with his people, and he wrapped himself in a cloud. But of course, whenever our Savior came into this world, we read of his perfect life, that he magnified the law. He often spoke about the law of God. What we mean by the law is just commands. But you know, do you know why the Lord Jesus often gave commands to people? So that they would realize that they can't keep the commands. So that they would realize that they are sinners. That's why Jesus often spoke about the law of God. He often told people about God's perfect standard. You read the Sermon on the Mount. In one of the passages in the Sermon on the Mount, it tells us that if we don't forgive other people, then God won't forgive us. Well, whenever you read that, you say to yourself, well, Lord, there's no hope for me. Because every time that I should have forgiven someone, did I? I'm afraid not. We've all harbored unforgiveness in our hearts at one time or another. Why did Jesus say that if you don't forgive others, you'll not be forgiven? So that we would realize and say to ourselves, I haven't kept this. I have broken this law. I'm a sinner. And the penny drops. The light goes on. Jesus, that's why you came. That's why you came. You came to save sinners like me who couldn't keep the law. Sinners like me who couldn't reach up to your perfect standard. Lived a perfect life. Went to the cross. Cried, it is finished. Buried for 3 days. Rose from the dead on the third day. Then he took his disciples and he taught them for 40 days. And then he led them to the Mount of Olives. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 that he ascended up before them in a cloud. In a cloud. There you have the cloud again. As our Savior was taken up into heaven, he returned to his heavenly home. The cloud enveloped him. Ah, but he's coming back again someday. And that's what we have read. Behold, he cometh with clouds.
Are you ready to meet him?
How do you get ready? How do you prepare to meet this returning king? You just got to cry out for mercy. The man in the temple, the publican in the temple, if you read Luke 18, there was another man, Pharisee. He said, "Lord, I've done this, I've done that, I've done the other thing." But then the publican, he said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And that must be our attitude if we are to be ready to meet this king, if we're to be forgiven. In other words, what I'm trying to say is you've got to say sorry. If we're to be forgiven, we've got to come before the king and say, "I have broken your law. You are the lawgiver, Lord Jesus, the Ten Commandments, and you are my creator. And you have a perfect standard, but I have failed to live up to it. And O great King, have mercy upon me. Forgive me. I am sorry for the life that I have lived. I am sorry that I have lived like an atheist. I am sorry that I have lived as if you do not exist. And by your grace and with your help from this time on, I intend to live my life for your glory." Sorry is not an easy word to say, but it's a word that we must say if we are to be forgiven. The clouds, my, what a wonderful study that is. Do you know there's actually a society called the Cloud Appreciation Society? I'm not a member of it, but you can go online, you can read all about the Cloud Appreciation Society. But Scripture speaks about the clouds, and the Lord Jesus will return with the clouds. His return will be visible. It's not a secret return. Whenever the king comes back again, it will not be a secret and invisible one where just his people see it. No, the Bible says here, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." Every eye shall see him. Well, you say, what about the people who have died? Are in their graves. He's going to raise them out of their graves. Everyone in the graves will be resurrected. So that argument doesn't stack up. And the Bible is true that every eye shall see him. Every eye will see the returning king. Friends, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus Christ is returning to sort out the mess that this world is in? I mean, only he can do it. And there will be no more terrorist attacks like we saw in London this past week. Isn't it so sad? Those innocent people just mown down on Westminster Bridge. That heroic police officer who confronted the terrorist and gave his life, sacrificed his life for the protection of others. Isn't it so sad? But there will be no more terrorist attacks whenever Jesus Christ, the King, returns. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. Is your heart broken today because of circumstances? Are you depressed today? Are you down in a deep, dark valley? You just feel that there's no point in living, no purpose to life? The King has the answer. Come to the King today. You see, he's a merciful King. He's full of grace. He's full of compassion. He cares for you. It'll be a perfect world whenever the King returns. No more sickness. I know that some of you good people are struggling with sickness and ill health from day to day, and my, don't we all take, those of us who are healthy, don't we take it for granted, the good health that God blesses us with from day to day? But thank God, if you come to Christ, one day you'll have a body that will have no more sickness, no more pain, no more discomfort, because whenever the King returns, this universe will be perfect once again. Sin has ruined it, sin has wrecked it. But one day Jesus says, "Behold, I make all things new." You know, there's a lovely incident from history, the history of England, that illustrates what we're trying to say today. Richard the Lionheart, Richard the First of England. He was a great ruler, a great king. But he went off to fight a battle on one occasion. And while he was away, his brother John, King John, took over the throne. You know how Robin Hood, the story of Robin Hood, came from that era. And how bad King John and how Robin Hood was against him. Robin Hood and his merry men. But there was King John upon the throne. Richard the Lionheart, who was in battle. He was away from England. And things started to go downhill while he was away. Is that not the way it is in our world? That while the great King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, is away from this earth, have things not gone downhill? And the people of England, they longed that Richard would return. They prayed that Richard would return. They longed to be free from the yoke of John. And the day came whenever Richard returned to England, he landed on English soil once again. And the bells started to peal, and Richard made a beeline for the throne of England. And Richard the Lionheart was king again upon the throne. The king returned. What joy, what happiness. For those who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that will be a tremendous day when the Saviour returns, and we will welcome him, and we will bow before him and acknowledge that the only reason we are his children is because of his grace and because of his precious blood. We are sinners through and through who deserve hell, but by his grace he has saved us, and he has taken our hell upon the cross. Therefore, we will never experience that awful place. But what about those in this service today who are not believers, those who are ignoring Jesus Christ, those who are living their lives without him? What will be your reaction on that day when he cometh with clouds? Well, look again at verse 7. "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Do you know what that word "wail" means? It means to cry with a lamentable cry. It is exactly the same as what happened to Jesus as he looked over the city of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus wept as he looked down over the city. The word in the original is wailed. It's a crying, it's a weeping that you could hear at the end of the road. The end of the Duncastle Road, you go right down to the traffic lights and someone up here is wailing. You would hear them down there. That will be the response of those who are not prepared to meet the King. Friends, why am I here today? Well, I'm here to pray for little Kai, and it's been a joy and a privilege to be here and to be a part of it. But I'm also here today to tell you that you need to be ready, because the King will return.